You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
A very good friend of Vaughn Boys is back. Birds and Bees and Kids, Amy Lang. If you have a neurodivergent child, be sure to tune in. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-host, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net, and I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for being our listeners. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. We are super excited to have Amy Lang returning once again to talk about birds and bees and kids, but also she's been doing some super interesting training, and I wanted her to come on today to talk to you and share with us. I haven't even heard this information. Share with us all the new things applied with all the old things, you know. Super cool. Amy Lang, Birds and Bees and Kids, thanks for being here.
Thank you for always having me and trusting me with your people. You know, I love talking to you. And, you know, Janet and I are good friends. So I'll tell my new story. So I started getting in the last, like, probably year and a half, but it really kind of struck me maybe like 9 months ago that all of a sudden, every time I did a quickie half-hour consultation, like I would say 3/4 of the time, the kid was neurodiverse in some way. ADHD, autism, combo pack, and any number of things. And it was consistent. And I suddenly thought, oh, I bet there's nobody helping these parents.
Yes.
And, you know, boys tend to be more obvious about these kinds of things than girls are. And so I just, you know, as the universe would have it, I plop into my lap a course on neurodiversity and sexuality, which I took this summer. And Milo, it could not be more neurotypical.
How old is Milo now?
He's 23.
23.
I know. He's a grown up. He's lovely. He's lovely. So I don't have personal experience with this. And so part of me kind of, whenever I always have some judgment around people who didn't, like, you didn't parent boys, right? So I'm like, how could you possibly know? But of course you can know, right? And of course I can know and learn. And so I've been having more interaction with folks. I'm creating curriculum specifically for parents of neurodiverse kids, because near as I can tell, there ain't much out there. There's a lot of misinformation. And so it's been really, really interesting for me to learn. And I'm so excited to help parents. I just had two quickies back to back with moms whose girls have, one had autism and one is ADHD. And one was combo and one was just ADHD. And it's hard. It's so hard.
Hey, tell our listeners what a quickie is, Amy.
Oh, it is not sexual. I mean, it is sexual. It's a half an hour consultation with me because it's quick. Half an hour.
Okay.
They're awesome. Kind of miraculous. Like, so much happens in a half an hour. So anyway, so long story short, I have this new passion for this, and I really feel for these, for parents who are parenting neurodiverse kids, and then trying, they have to wedge in, like everybody else, the sex talks. And it's just more, right? But as we know, fundamental human right to have this information. It's so important to their health and safety. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
So dive in. I'm so curious how this all dovetails together, because we've had guests on that work with ADHD, Ryan Wexelblatt. We've had Debbie Reber, Parenting. So people are working in this field and helping parents understand the neurodiversity. But, oh my gosh, what do you do when your kid hits puberty and you're going ADHD, autism? Help us, Amy.
Yes. So let me just say some stuff about like some of the myths that are out there that I think kind of people need to understand and then stop believing. So one of the big ones is that, so, okay. So first of all, I am speaking in broad strokes here. Mm-hmm. So everybody's on a, you know, on a spectrum, on a scale. So I'm speaking in broad strokes. I want to be really clear about that. But generally speaking, people tend to think that folks who are neurodiverse aren't sexual. So they're mm-hmm. either asexual or they're hypersexual. And there's no like normalcy, right? It's either one thing or the other. You know, all parents want to think that their kids are asexual. not all of them.
That's a whole other podcast, Amy. Another
podcast, right? But so there's this myth that they don't need this information, that it's not going to be relevant to them, that they won't know what to do with it. And so that's a total myth. Everybody has some relationship with sexuality. Everybody, you know, even if they are asexual, they still are having a relationship with sexuality. Plus they're in the world, right? And so then also relationships, right? Right? They need to know how to be in a healthy, consenting, fun, loving relationship. And like I said, it is a fundamental human right to have this information. So that's one myth. Another myth is that because they're innocent, they're not going to be getting in any kind of trouble. And so they don't need this information because they're innocent and they're not interested. So it's kind of in the same vein. But then what happens with that sort of perspective is that they're at high risk for sexual abuse. They're also, depending on where they are in the world, at high risk for sexually offending, not knowing, not understanding that saying that thing, doing that thing is not okay, right? And so it's this two-sided thing where they're very vulnerable. And we know that knowledge is empowering, no matter what's going on with you. And then they're vulnerable in terms of not understanding like social norms or that sort of thing. So this is another place that we need to really like show up for them. So those are kind of the two biggies. And, you know, I get it. Like you have so much going on with a kiddo that's developmentally, you know, they're neurodiverse and whatever the hell else is going on. And then I'm here saying, you got to talk to them about sex. So, you know, I always come back to health and safety. Always, always, always. This is health and safety, straight up, nothing else. And it's social and emotional and physical. Like it's complicated, but it doesn't have to be so complicated. And, you know, it is so important that they have this information because it's life, right? This is a huge part of life. And even if they're in a space where it's kind of a spectator sport for them, like this mom I just talked to, she just had somebody say to her kid has sensory issues and that she works with someone who helps her with that. And the person said to this kid's mom, you don't have to worry about her and sex. She's totally grossed out by it. So she won't be having sex. And no. And I said, okay, yes, she's grossed out by it. And okay, yeah, that's a thing. A, that does not mean. And then B, she's at high risk for, she's 14, abuse, being taken advantage of, like all this stuff, right? So even though they might not be interested, they need to have the information. So,
and we know how many kids, when you're starting the talks, that they don't want to hear it and they're quote unquote not interested. Well, guess what? You get to have the talks anyway. And so I know, Amy, you are always talking about you have to start earlier than you think you have to start. Does that still apply?
Yeah, it does. And one thing about neurodiverse kids that I understand, and again, not everyone, is that they tend to be a little socially immature compared to their peers. So you might have a 14-year-old that really kind of socially, emotionally functions on more like a 10 or 11-year-old level. And so, but they're in a 14-year-old body and they're surrounded by other 14-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So you've got these developmentally typical, socially, emotionally 14-year-olds doing their business, right? And then here's your kid who's like, I don't get what's happening here. Oh, I'm feeling sexual feelings. I don't understand this. Where do I fit here? And don't have the necessarily the ability to kind of suss out what's happening. Now, granted, typical 14-year-olds don't necessarily either, but the kid, you know, in this position, they absolutely still need to have the same information. And so what can happen and what is recommended is that with kids that have ADHD, for example, or just even autism, small bites, like I always say small bites, but we're talking small bites and we're talking a lot of repeating. So for example, you know, you want to talk to them, you don't want to talk down to them, but the more simple it is, the better they're going to be able to understand it. So just for, as an example, we all know Amy hates the word inappropriate, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's too long, it's gobbledygook for everyone. And I prefer to say, it's not okay. Clear, simple, right? Inappropriate, how many syllables? So same thing when it comes to sexual stuff like consent. Consent means agree, right? Mm-hmm. Agree. And so for me as a grown ass person, when I hear consent, all this consent talk, I have to think a minute.
Yes.
And I got it all going on. Well, no, I don't have it all going on, but like I have to think. And if I, the sex educator, I have to think about what that means, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's a vague concept and everybody kind of has their different meaning that they apply to it also.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about agreeing to sexual stuff, agreeing to do things, you can say consent. You have to say consent as well, because that's the buzzword. So just those little things. So I'm kind of all over the map here, but yes, you need to start sooner rather than later, you know, early, repeat. Maybe you're going to use the book, It's So Amazing with your 14-year-old, because it's simpler and it's maybe more approachable as opposed to It's Perfectly Normal, which is, you know, sort of the next level up that has every single flipping thing in it. So maybe that's where you go. And definitely if you feel like you're behind the game here with all this, absolutely puberty, absolutely get on the puberty train as soon as you can, because the body gets baffling. And you can use that as an entry point to talk about just general sexuality. And then I would also say, in particular, you know, with boys in particular, because of, you know, the way our culture is, really having those conversations about consent and getting that in their little sweet little brains as best you can. So Tom and Ellie series, depending on your kiddos, you know, where they are cognitively or developmentally. And oh, by the way, if I'm saying all the wrong words, sorry, learning. So the Tom and Ellie series is really good, a really good book series of books, which we'll put them in the show notes. And they have books about social stuff and that kind of thing related to bodies and sexuality. So there are good options now in terms of books and that kind of thing, but you're going to be a little bit behind. But at the same time, if you've got your 12-year-old who's having random acts of senseless boners and has sensory stuff going on and can't keep his hand out of his pants because, hello, I mean, yeah. I had that going on and I knew it felt better to hang on. So again, with that kind of thing, helping them to understand their different ways to manage themselves and understand what's happening, again, as best they can. So, you know, I get a little out of my depth with the, like, how do you get a kid to basically lovingly knock that off? But there's, you know, that's nothing new, right? That's not new info, but just like thinking about like being in this body that's doing this, having these drives, and what do you do with it?
Lots of food for thought here. Stay tuned. There's more after these messages from our sponsors. As Mother's Day is coming around, I find I'm missing my mom more and more. And there's always questions and stories I wish I had asked her when she was still here. I do remember that I gave her a book once upon a time with questions for her to write the answers to. And bless her heart, she didn't answer very many. So that was really a disappointment. But fast forward to now, and technology. And now we have mylifeinabook.com. It takes all those questions and stories and it puts it in a format that is sent to your person, whoever you designate, on a regular basis, so that the prompts come, they're easily answered either written or voice to text, and they're captured by mylifeinabook.com. These family stories, this legacy that you want to leave for your children and your grandchildren. MyLifeInABook.com, create an unforgettable gift for your mom, your dad, your children this Mother's Day. Use our coupon code ONBOYS for 10% off. Go to MyLifeInABook.com and use ONBOYS for 10% off. Create that legacy. Carry on those stories.
We all know that vitamins can help fill nutritional gaps in our diet. But a lot of us don't like to take vitamins because we don't like swallowing pills. How do you feel about that, Janet?
There's some days that I look at my vitamins and go, yeah, I should take those. I'll do it later. But I'll tell you what's changed. I have gotten easy melt vitamins. I have the D3 and I have the B12s and a multivitamin. And I just pop them in my mouth and they dissolve and I don't have to think about swallowing a vitamin.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need water either to have on hand to get this big vitamin now.
Yeah, no, and they taste good and they're sugar-free. They melt quickly. The reason they melt is because of plants, not chemicals.
Ah, plant-based nutrition. For a limited time only, you can receive a free 3-month supply of Easy Melt Vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelt.com/onboys. That's try.easymelts.com/onboys.
We've had the talk conversation so many times over the years. You've been a guest many times. And as you said, we're colleagues and friends, and it always comes up in conversation. Again, reassuring our listeners that it's awkward, it's embarrassing, it's all the things, and tough. Do it anyway, because you are, and I think even more so for neurodiverse kids, you are their gatekeeper. You are the one that keeps them safe. And so 2,000 2-minute conversations, maybe now it has to be 4,000 1-minute conversations. I'm not sure, but we kind of go all crazy when puberty's at our doorstep, but we need to be back at 5, 6, 7 and talking about body parts and all the things. And I think you're spot on about the repetition. And I think parents of neurodiverse kids know that they're going to be repeating pretty much everything a lot. Add this to the list. And it's hard. And so I know you're going to be doing some teaching around this and workshops. And I really encourage any parent who has a neurodiverse kid, is confronting sexuality, puberty, to reach out to you, but also get with the other people in your community who also have neurodiverse kids. And this is like general parenting. Find the parent who has a kid that's a little older than yours, because they're going to be a great guide for you, but even more so neurodiverse kids.
Yeah. And yeah, thank you. Yes. What you said, all of that. Absolutely. Absolutely true. And you know, when you said find another parent that's got an older kid, chances are really good they didn't do this.
Yeah, that's really true.
Good. Really good. So yeah. I would say, and yes, please reach out to me, but I would say maybe finding some parenting pals that you want to do this together and support each other. Mm-hmm. Because then you can talk about what worked, what didn't work. This stuff can be really funny. So don't forget that part of it. So thank you for saying all that. Cause you know, again, like I hate to pile on, but you know, Jody McVitie, famous positive discipline parent educator, says you can do the hard work of parenting and have an outcome, and you can do the hard work of parenting and have a good outcome, right? Mm-hmm. It's all work. The other thing too is about how your kids learn. Modern times, there are excellent videos out there for kids that they can watch, amaze.org, really good books that are comic book style that are really great. And we'll have all those in the show notes. So there's lots of ways to learn now that makes things easier, but nothing takes the place of having conversations. Nothing takes the place. So one thing that's really interesting about neurodiverse folks is that they tend to be more diverse and more open and accepting in terms of gender and sexual orientations. And so we see kind of as a whole, in particular with autistic folks, they tend to be more likely to be transgender, non-binary, queer in some way, like significantly more than the general population. And so this is something that you definitely need to be ready for and open to and accepting of, and just understand that this is, I haven't found any research on it, and I'm sure it's there, but my guess is because their brains work in a different way and the way they are in our world and their social stuff and cultural stuff, that they just are who they are. So yeah, I like guys. Yeah, I like girls. Yeah, I don't like anybody. I'm asexual. They tend to be, I think, a little more higher level of asexuality, which means you don't have any interest in sex per se. Some people, anyway, I won't go down that pathway. That's another conversation. Because you know how this is. So understanding that it's just they're wired differently and in many different ways, including how they perceive their gender and sexuality. So I'm just don't be surprised. Mm-hmm. Those of you with neurodiverse kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. So really common, really, really common. And if you don't understand what's happening, there's lots of help and support for you as an adult and a parent, but the most important thing for your child is that you are right there for them. You can say, I don't get this. Like, how can you not have a gender? Like, I, Amy, don't get how you cannot have a gender. I don't understand how you can be attracted to both, you know, both guys and gals, like any of that. You say that, and then you say, I love you. I'm here for you. Tell me what you need. Mm-hmm. And then wait and be supportive, because they need you on so many levels. I'm like, I loved what you said, that you are their anchor. You are their first and most important person in all things. And, you know, we know just statistically that kids who are queer in some way, LGBTQ in some way, have a 4 times higher suicide rate than the general population. And parents are the reason, like full parental support on par.
Oh, listeners, take a deep breath.
I'm taking a breath.
Amy's taking a breath. I'm taking a breath. It's a lot of things to think about on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else. You're trying to get them to do their homework and get them out of bed and to school on time and all those things. So I do encourage you to give yourself some grace, give yourself some time, but not too much time. Because you don't have time.
Yeah.
If you haven't started these conversations at any age, it starts now. Like, you can't wait. Oh, I'll wait till after Christmas. I'll wait till they turn 13. I'll wait till she starts her period. Guess what? You can't wait.
Yeah. Nope. No waiting. No waiting. And even if that first, you know, if you're having multiple short and sweet conversations and more than typical, but that first conversation can just be, hey, you know what? You're old enough now. We need to start talking about this. It's a really important part of life. You might feel uncomfortable. I might feel uncomfortable, but here we go. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then you might have to say, hey, remember, we're going to start talking about this stuff. I'm going to get you some books. And then here are the books. And then you need to be really careful about overwhelming them, right? You need to be careful about timing. You need to be really kind of hang in there with them when they're pushing back. And just, you know, some kids just freak out. They can't tolerate this. And for any number of reasons. And so you need to figure out how are you going to work this in? How can you help them to feel safe? You know, all the usual tricks in my book. But one thing, I'm glad you said the holidays, and talking, one thing that is a huge problem with every child these days is porn exposure. And so
I knew we were going to get to that, Amy.
I can't talk about anything without talking about porn. I get tired of it. But with these kids, the concern is they tend to rabbit hole, right? They'll get obsessed with something and want to do it. And it could be any number of things. And as you can imagine, porn is a good one, is a real good one. so many levels of so many things going on, physically and then emotionally, mentally, like the whole thing. So it is very easy, or much easier, for kids who have ADHD or autism or something else to get hooked in and can't get unhooked.
Yeah.
And can't get unhooked. So I'm going to throw some stats at y'all, because maybe you'll believe me. So talking about boys who seek out porn are 6 times more likely to be sexually aggressive. Yeah. Another fun stat is that adults, they underestimate like what the content is by 10 times. So we think, oh, we're going to see somebody having like, here comes the plumber. No. It is not Here Comes the Plumber. It's 10 times worse than Here Comes the Plumber. Oh my God. Am I so funny? Did you hear what I said there? Sorry. Here Comes the Plumber. Terrible. It's 10 times worse than what we think. And if you don't believe me, just put the word porn into your browser and then go look at Pornhub. And honestly, I would like you to do that and be ready. No one in the room, clear the browser history. And pretend you're 9.
Oh God, hate me.
And pretend you're 9. And if that doesn't make you listen to me and use monitoring and filtering, and again, with a neurodiverse child, you have to be on it times 50. And I just had one of these parents I just talked to, I said, you know, some of her behavior, I'm wondering if she's been porn exposed. And she said, Oh no. She's 14. No. Oh, 90% of boys and 80% of girls are porn exposed by 14. Oh no. And I said, really? Is she on social media? Yeah. And I said, well, and you just got to assume, right? And so just, you know, again, you don't want your child getting involved in this, because the chance is higher that they're going to just go for it. And I love Bark, the product Bark. It's great. If you can't afford it, there are other things that are free that you can do. And, you know, I've said this ad nauseum, nobody needs a phone until the 8th grade. So no one needs a watch. No one needs their own iPad. No one needs any of that stuff. You don't need a watch. You need a phone, but you can get by on a flip phone, I promise. But anyway, so those are just porn channels and other nonsense.
Well, and I can imagine, you know, you've got a kid who's maybe a little less socially mature than the other kids in, let's say, 7th grade, 8th grade. And, oh, let's show them this thing. Won't it be fun to see how they react? So it's not just that the child, your child, is finding it. It's who is your child being with that is exposing them. The older brother of your friend, you know, of the friend. Because they want to see what the reaction will be.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, the other thing too is like, there's that. And then there's direct messaging on all these different gaming platforms. And there's all kinds of stuff happening. And so the other piece is like, yeah, they want to get that reaction. But can you imagine being in a group of friends when you were 13 and they were looking at something and you had to not look at it and try to pull away from that? It's like, you do or die. You have to look. You have to engage. It's just, it's social. It's like either you participate or you're a piranha, right? Is that right? I don't know what the word is. Piranha?
Piranha. Pariah.
Yeah. Thank you. Pariah. Thank you. Very good. Look at us. Two brains. Anyway, so, and then again, with your child that's neurodiverse, it's more complicated, because oftentimes they're aware that they're not in the same space in that, in terms of emotional development, social development, and they want to fit in. So they're going to hang in there with that. And then they might be, oh, I'm going to go look for more. And then I'm going to share, right? To try to connect, which gross. And so again, having conversations about this and being hypervigilant. And I don't know if I said this already, but your child does not need a phone until the 8th grade. Part of me sometimes is like, forget it. Nobody believes me. But honestly, if you just go to Pornhub and believe me. Yeah. And there's so many other things anyway. But, you know, the thing is here with the back to the neurodiversity, they need this information. They're just like every other kid and human. And it's mean to think that they're not going to be interested in having sex or a romance or whatever. It's not fair to them. You're seeing them as not a whole person. And they got enough of that going on, right? Like enough of feeling like an outsider, enough of like all of that. And then adding in like, oh, and no one sees me as capable mm-hmm. of doing this thing. And, you know, fully capable to their ability, right? Like to their ability. I mean, again, everybody is different. Every kid is different and every family is different. And, you know, knowledge is empowering. It's empowering. It keeps them safer. So if they know that sex isn't something that, you know, should happen between a teacher and a student, or if they know that everybody needs to agree to do the things, it gets a little complicated, but if they know like what this is, then they're going to be safer. This is, of course, you know, you want your kid to be sex educated. And then of course you don't want them to be the sex educator, right?
Yeah, there's that part too.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the sort of rabbit holing obsessive, you know, really into things. I mean, there are worse things. Mm-hmm. There are worse things. So yeah, I mean, it's been really interesting for me to learn about this. And then as I'm talking with parents, I'm just getting more and more information. And I'm going to an ADHD conference this week, and I'm very excited about it because I need more and I want to be helpful and, yeah. and I want to be helpful and you know, even just a parent just trying is, you know, just try, just kick the door open, mm-hmm. and keep trying. That's better than nothing. Yeah. It's better than nothing.
Definitely.
And, yeah. And they'll, you know, they'll appreciate it even though they might not in the moment.
And, you know, resist, cover their ears, cover their eyes, but yeah. you still have to. And, you know, we've said on this podcast so many times about how to talk to boys. And that is still the same for neurodiverse boys, side by side, get in the car, have food, walk, throw a ball, something.
Yep. Same. Yeah. It's all the same.
Not have to do eye contact. And I think, you know, there is a place if parents can loosen up a little bit, there is a place where there can be some humor in this. And boys appreciate humor, love bathroom humor, potty talk from the get-go. And so, I mean, take it seriously, but also lighten up, if that makes sense.
Yes, be serious and lighthearted. It's possible. You're serious within yourself, right? That you're committed to doing this. You're going to, you know, pick a couple things to do. You're going to start your serious business about that. But the way you start the conversation could be like, you could say, okay, I believe I've missed the boat here. Right. And sorry. And we have to talk about this, right? You can be lighthearted and say, here we go. And mm-hmm. one of the hard things is when you're having high resistance to persevere with that. And, you know, how do you navigate a child who really can hardcore resist stuff, or you're not sure they're getting it, right? You're not sure they're getting it. And, you know, it can be really complicated. And, you know, with the resistors, again, this is not my expertise, but whatever you're doing in other ways with the resistant, do with the sex stuff. And, you know, I mean, I'm all about writing notes and, you know, if texting, any number of ways of communicating, like
don't eighth grade.
In the eighth grade, texting, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So what do you think about, I'm going to guess many neurodiverse kids have a therapist or an OT person or PT or special ed at school or what, you know, that there's mm-hmm. other people in their world supporting them. Is this an opportunity to reach out to them? And number one, ask like at school, what, you know, is anything being talked about so that you know and can reinforce that, but also the other way of, hey, I'm starting this conversation. Can you back me up or can you, you know, be one of the repeats out there? Amy's answer coming up after these messages from our sponsors.
We talk at you all the time. Now we want to talk with you. Janet and I are partnering and we are so excited. We will be offering a 3-session series, talk with boys like a pro about anything and everything.
3 sessions, 3 weeks in a row. Jen, I'm so excited about this because not only do we get to see each other again in a week, but we get to talk directly with our listeners, and we'll be bringing great information, but also there will be time for discussion, time for questions. And that is truly where the gold is.
We will troubleshoot in real life all those questions that pop into your head when you hear us do podcasts and make suggestions. This is your chance to ask, to clarify, to really drill down into how you can use these communication techniques and shift your strategies in your home, in your family, with your child.
Go to boysalive.com/boys. And all the info is there. Get registered. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, that's Talk with Boys Like a Pro about anything and everything. We will be live in May. All the details are at boysalive.com/boys. And get registered. Don't delay. This is going to be so much fun. And it's going to give you peace of mind, new information, new insights. We hope you'll join us.
Yeah. I think that that's great. Like finding out, like everybody should know what's happening in their school with the sex ed stuff. And my rule is just do it, whatever the hell it is, even if it's terrible, do it anyway, because you need to know what's going on. And then your child will be a beacon of light with the correct information. And it can be highly entertaining, the nonsense that comes out of those terrible sex ed programs, or if you're uncomfortable because if you think it's too much or too liberal, that isn't a thing. I mean, with the internet and whatnot, they're going to get the information no matter what. So let them go to that, let them do the school sex ed. And then you talk about your values. And also if you're opposed to sex ed in schools, you're hurting children. Some people are just not capable of having these conversations. Anyway, side note. So find out what they're teaching. Find out if there's any accommodation needed so your child can attend and learn. With the people that they're working with, it's really important to say, hey, we've started the sex talks. This is what we've talked about so far. Just want to give you a heads up. Mm-hmm. And then I would also say, because you just can't know necessarily who's a creepster out there, and you can also say, yeah, you know, I realize that this is such important information, and keeps him safer from, you know, being taken advantage of, and, you know, I want him to understand his body boundaries and that sex is, you know, blah 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 blah, because yeah. if there is a creepster around and you say that, they're going to be less likely to mess with your kid. So, you know, there's always potential. You know, I can't fix everything, but just being straight up, like we're talking about this, because that kid could blurt something to their OT, right? Do you get boners, right?
Yes.
that sperm can come out of, did you know that you could touch your penis until you have the sperm coming out of it, right? Oh, thanks for sharing, right? And if people don't know that you're talking with your kid, they're going to think any number of things, right? Most folks go straight to some kind of sexual abuse, right? That's not necessarily the case, especially if they're saying sperm and ejaculate and masturbate. Those aren't naughty words. Oh, that just reminded me. So the lighthearted thing, you can say things like wank or jerk off or choke the chicken, assuming they can make the connection that you're using a euphemism for, you know, masturbation. You can say touching your business, like you can be funny about it. And it makes the conversations easier, and, you know, they might be eye rolly or they might not get it. And of course, you know, your kids, so you might just need to be super concrete, which is fine. It's really important to be concrete with everyone, because it just makes it easier to understand. So kind of back to that, keep it simple, keep it concrete, pick your moments. And then also just don't pick your moments, because you can just say, oh my God, I just thought of this thing. I need to tell you, set your timer for a minute. And you don't have to say anything, blah, 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 blah. And you always say, what do you think? Don't say, do you have any questions? Say, what do you think?
And don't wait for your child to ask the question, any question, because they're not going to likely come to you and ask a question about sex.
Right.
Not going to happen. Don't wait for it.
Yep.
It's up to you, parents.
Yep. As always, sorry. And you know, one thing about kids getting older and watching the kids around them and their friend groups, there's lots of opportunity for conversation about like, hey, what's going on over there with so-and-so and that, you know, what do you think about them dating or whatever? What have you noticed? Or what do you think about these kinds of relationships that are happening? Just, you know, so you can talk about healthy relationships, right? Like they can say, oh my God, they hold hands constantly and she won't stop texting him. It's like, yeah, that's not healthy. Like, can you imagine? Imagine here, I'm just going to text you every 5 minutes and it feels bad, right? So just always using the world around you for sure. That's, you know, works the best.
Yeah. Speaking of the world around us, tell us what you're up to besides this. You're going to the ADHD conference in Baltimore. Cannot wait to hear how that goes and new things that you learned from that. But you have always got something going on online, which
Full thing. So porn. On December 5th, I'm doing a class that is two things. I'm calling it the Dynamic Duo. It's me for about an hour talking about kind of porn, kind of an overview of porn and not specific stuff to like in terms of like, this is how you talk about it. These are the words, that kind of thing. Just because there's this information we don't have about it that we really need, kind of a broad picture, a broad stroke. So that's one of the dynamic duos. And then the second part is I have a new thing called the Porn Talk Info Kit. And that is online and it has the specifics of what to say. It's got a video with a gal that does only online safety. There's handouts and other stuff there that's the dig in to like, how do we do this? It's $49. So you get the me and a lot of Q&A with me and then the Porn Talk Kit, which you can just use forever and ever. Amen. And part of the kit is scripts. We'll put the link in the show notes. So please join. It will be eye-opening. And I love doing Q&A because it's so good for everybody to hear.
Feel not alone. You're not the only one who's suffering through this. And it is scary. You have the foundation that parents need, educators. I mean, all of this, parents, share it with your school administrators, share it with your teachers, because they need this information as well. And I know you do a lot of work with schools, so super important. And I was going to ask you for that workshop in particular, any age limit?
No. If you got a 3-year-old, you need to know. If you have a 20-year-old, probably not.
Might have missed that boat completely.
My ship has sailed, and doesn't matter the gender of your kid. Even if you're just curious, like you're a teacher or something like that, you need to know because kids are exposed constantly and it affects their behavior, all kinds of crap. Anyway, I have all the details. I have all the details in my little dynamic duo. So yeah. So please join. I think it'll be informative and it's recorded. So you'll get everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're so good at that. So it'll be in the show notes.
It'll be on my Facebook page and Instagram. It's Birds, Bees, Kids. And maybe go there right now. You can follow me right now. Right.
There you go.
Cool.
Amy. Choked up a little bit. I just adore you and so appreciate the work that you do in the world. And you know, I just remember the first conference. We were at like a preschool conference in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw your workshop listed and I was like, I have to go to this workshop. I was presenting that day and I came to your workshop and it's like, I need to be her friend. I need to know her. And, you know, just one of those just soul kindred spirit meetings. And so that's just been, I don't even know how long ago that was, 15 years ago, maybe.
I think it might be. That was a really long time ago. Yeah. And I remember meeting you. And it was just, it was great. And that was a fun conference too. What was it? Positive Discipline?
It's the PCPO conference, the Parent Child Preschool of Oregon. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So cool. Listeners, you have gold here in this person. a quickie call, 30 minutes. If you are really fretting about something, Amy's going to set you straight pretty quick. Because as you might have noticed, she does not beat around the bush about anything.
Nope.
So, and check out that online workshop, her book. Tell us your book.
Sex Talks with Tweens.
Yes.
What to say, how to say it, scripts.
And get that porn kit because it's inevitable. It's not going to not happen. You think that it's not, but it's not going to not happen. So
that. Yeah. Remember, this is all about knowledge is empowering. It's about empowering your kid. It's about preparing your kid for all of this stuff in life. It's not, it's about their future. It's about their future. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about their health, their safety, their future, and growing up to be a whole, healthy, happy adult. Like that's our goal, right? That's the goal. Surviving that, getting there, but that's the goal.
That's the goal.
And thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just appreciate you and your friendship and your work.
Be sure to check out the show notes for all of Amy's resources and especially that porn kit. Amy's resources are always top notch. You have my 1000% recommendation for anything she does. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net, and I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being our listeners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.